Welcome to The Father's Heart with Tom Clark, better known as Papa Tom.
Good morning. This is Papa Tom at The Father's Heart Talk Show, and I have with me a very special guest who I met in Nashville, Tennessee a couple of weeks ago at the National Religious Broadcasters Conference. And her name is Elena Barbera. Elena is a movie producer, and she's done a documentary called American Groomer. Now, I think many people listening to the audience understand what the modern definition of groomer is, but the purpose of this documentary is to expose things that are happening in our country. And the reason why I'm putting it on the show is because most people who listen to my show realize that our mission statement is bringing the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest they smite the land with a curse, which is fatherlessness. And it has to do with the children. It always has to do. Children are in the heart of God. And Elena has done a movie that touches upon people who are doing things that is disturbing to the heart of God the Father, and how God the Father wants us to take action to overcome what's happening in our world today. So with that in mind, it's Elena Barbera, a modern-day Cabrini. Now, she's got Italian background, and her grandfather came into this country in 1915, which is right when Cabrini, Mother Cabrini, was operating in the Five Points in Manhattan. So for those of you who haven't seen the show, the movie Cabrini, I highly recommend it to you. And I also highly recommend to you that you get connected with Elena Barbera. By the end of the show, we're going to share with you how you can find out about this new documentary, American Groomer. And with that in mind, Elena, share with our audience a little bit of background about yourself and tell them why you got motivated to do this movie.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me. Wow. There is a lot that was driving me. You know, imagine the same thing that everyone in this country is going through, sitting around the kitchen table the past few years, watching absolute madness around us and feeling completely overwhelmed. I knew that I was getting this rising feeling like I needed to do something, but you know, where to start when there's things going on with immigration and crime and rioting and wars and, you know, what's happening to our children. So it just kept coming at me because I was in prayer saying, what do I do now? I was a little bit at a crossroads, and it kept coming at me about the children and what was going on. And I kept seeing the mainstream media telling us that there were these book bans by these Nazi fascists people that were trying to, you know, promote censorship. And so I had already gained a bit of a distrust for the mainstream media. So I looked into it myself and I bought a bunch of the books they were talking about. And what I found inside those books was so vulgar and so adult that I actually couldn't believe that these things were anywhere near children, never mind in schools. Mm-hmm. And last summer, I was sitting around the kitchen table with a bunch of family at a Sunday dinner, and I started telling them what I was finding. Mm-hmm. And I got such pushback. People either thought I was just making it up or believing some, you know, right-wing crazy headline, and, you know, one person at the table was defending me and pulling up news story after news story saying, no, she's telling the truth. And that frustration led me to prayer, and it just hit me like a ton of bricks. You have to make a movie about this, even though I had never made a movie before. I'm not a filmmaker. It was very generous of you to call me one, but I guess I am now. Mm-hmm. But I just had to do something to save my country, and I am certain that God told me this was about the children, and he gave me this personality of, you know, it has probably a little too much fire in it. And I pray that God
never
helps me
too much passion.
That.
It's always good to have passion.
He gave me the gumption to do it also, because I funded this thing entirely on my own. It was me and my editor, and he volunteered because he believes in the project and the mission of saving our children. So it was just the two of us. We went up and down the Eastern Seaboard, and we interviewed several different people. I was doing street interviews in front of the camera, showing these vulgar materials to Americans on the street. And these are things I had never done before. Mm-hmm. So I really went out of my comfort zone, and every single door just kept opening it was, you know, God's hand was in it. And here I am. Now I'm talking to you.
And you're a mother yourself. You have a 20-year-old son.
Mother. Yeah.
Right.
Yes. I have a 20-year-old son. And I think, you know, how lucky and blessed we were that 20 years ago or 15 years ago when he was in kindergarten, this isn't what I had to worry about.
Yeah.
But what are these young parents now who feel like they have to send their kids to school? And they're dipping their children in 8 hours of poison every single day. And I can't say enough that, you know, you can't do that and then take your kid home and sit with them for an hour at dinner and think that you can undo all that poisoning that's happened to them.
Hmm.
You can't. It's not that simple. So we have to change the schools or get our kids out of there.
You know, I've been listening to some of the things I pay attention to, and I was actually shocked at the brazenness of evil that operates through the LGBTQ community that was saying, we're queer, we're here, and we're coming after your children. This is in the gay pride events that they have. They're blatantly saying these words, which they could totally believe in. And one of the mechanisms they go for getting our children is to get the parents out of the picture. And if you go to the education, school boards and places like that, particularly in very woke areas, but it's happening all over the country, they're trying to take away from the parents their responsibilities, that God-given responsibilities that parents have to teach and to raise up their children, and thinking that belongs to the state. I mean, if that isn't a totalitarian, evil, communistic approach to the world, I don't know what else.
You know, Tom, they are doing that. They're doing it with the law in certain states, like in California, in Maine. They're trying to make it so that, you know, you can come and transition your child. You can come from anywhere in the country and it'll be a sanctuary for children to get chemical and surgical castration. Mm-hmm. And legally, they're trying to put that into law. And then indoctrinating children right from pre-K, they're teaching children that when they were born, they were assigned a sex at birth and their parents may have gotten it wrong. So right from day one, when your kid goes to school, in many places, they're teaching them that your parents don't even know who you are. They don't get you. I mean, imagine that as a little child, when your whole world is your parents and those are the people right. who you love and trust, and they're saying, I can't trust them. They might be thought bad or stupid right. or actually evil. That's what they're doing. It's nuts.
Yeah. I've read some stories of true journalists would bring out things. I think it was in California that they had a school board that was teaching the children about transitioning and told them not to tell their parents. And they were actually having classes at a club they've actually mm-hmm. created in this club, UBU Club. They're trying to teach them that, you know, you be who you are, right?
Which the irony.
The irony of it, right? Where the twisting of the words to try to get them to identify you be you, right? Not telling your parents the people that would do it, the guidance counselors, the people in the school administrations were totally against that. When the parents found out about it and complained, you know what the administration did? They sent out a curriculum to the teachers showing the teachers how to resist the parents.
This is what's happening. Well,
we are in a war. We are in a war.
It's not just rogue teachers. The teachers unions are in full support of this. The American Library Association is pushing all these books on our kids. Human Rights Campaign has materials in schools in 50 states, and they have lists of books about transgender ideology that start for pre-K up to the 12th grade. We have CECUS with their vulgar sex education.
What does CECUS
Planned Parenthood.
Mean? What does CECUS mean?
CECUS is an organization that was founded in the 60s. They basically have this philosophy that children are sexual from birth. the Sexual Education and Information Council of the United States. It sounds very official, and they are the most influential sex ed organization in the country, and they work closely with the DOE.
So that's an acronym.
Yes, yes.
Okay. Can you tell our audience a story that you think can illustrate the point poignantly about when you're doing the interviews for the documentary, what stood out to you?
So the very first sit-down interview I did was I flew up to Boston to talk with my pastor and his wife because they are homeschoolers, and I wanted to get their take on the materials I was finding in these schools. And you know, I had never done sit-down interviews before. I literally had to teach myself how to do that by studying other mainstream media personalities. That's what I did. Mm-hmm. So I wrote these questions. I sat down. I did my best. And afterwards, you know, they know me. So I said to my pastor, I said, you know, how'd I do? And he said, actually, you know, you did really well. I liked the questions. He goes, although I have to say, you seemed really uncomfortable at certain points talking about this stuff. And so the next day, my cameraman and I were left Boston. We were in New York, and I'm walking around Times Square showing people these same materials. And we get in the cab, and I said to him, I said, you know what? I'm more comfortable today talking about this stuff. Even I'm a middle-aged woman. I'm being groomed. I'm being groomed to be more comfortable talking about vulgar things at this age. How easy is it for a child to be groomed into thinking all of this is okay to talk about with other kids and to talk about with adults? It was a really interesting change that happened to me in under 24 hours.
Hmm. So you almost, if I'm hearing you correctly, it's almost as if you're saying there's a correlation between the word grooming and programming.
That yes, very, very, yes. That's a great insight. Yes.
Right. And that evil, who's using the prince of the power of the air, which is one of Satan's names, is not only causing fear through media, but he's also evil people are programming us. Not only programming the children as early as they can get them, but they're also programming people in their minds because we're doing battle to psychops war in the theater of the mind. And in this theater of the mind, in this psychops war that we're engaged in, it's even older people, as you started to mention, your family members, you bring them up, and this is incredible, this is incredulous. This is like not believable that these things are happening. They're being programmed to yeah. say it's not happening, and yet at the ages of the kids in school, the government schools no longer are teaching basic reading, writing, arithmetic, and basic skills, they're actually trying to warp the minds of our children. And we'll be back in a moment with Elena Barbera. This is Papa Tom with the Father's Heart Talk Show, and we're back with Elena Barbera. And she is the producer of a documentary film called The American Groomer. And Elena was sharing with me that I have permission to ask her, what is the most shocking thing that she found out when she was doing her interviews with people up and down the East Coast of America on this subject, with her interviews on the subject of what's happening with our children in the public schools? The sexualization of children. That's the subject. Sexualization of children. So share with us, Elena, what was the most shocking thing that you found out?
I mean, there are a few things I could go with, but I'm going to go with obscenity exemption statutes. So in all 50 states, if you show a child pornography at the mall or a coffee shop or the playground, you're going to leave in handcuffs, as you should, because the law sees that those materials as being harmful to minors. Okay. Except in 39 states, you can show pornography to a child in a schoolhouse or a library, and you'll be exempted from criminal prosecution, no matter how vulgar the pornography, no matter how young the child. That, to me, just it hit like a ton of bricks. And it said, you know, and the explanation around it is, well, you know, we need to be able to show them certain things for education. So There are no guardrails, though, whatsoever. And now we're seeing it play out. These laws were put in place insanely in the 50s and the 60s while we were all asleep at the wheel. Who's at the sock hop? Who's at the, you know, war protest or, you know, the peace and love demonstration with the hippies? And meanwhile, our government is putting these sick laws into place so that we can show filthy stuff to kids. Now we have books in middle schools that are guiding kids to go to websites like kink.com. Please don't visit it, but if you do, cover your eyes because it is some of the most vulgar, violent sex that exists. Why does a child even need to know that that is an option to go to that website? Hmm. You know, why does a child need explicit instructions on masturbation to be brought to their attention in, during school hours or really at any point? Mm-hmm. But it's illegal and they know it. And even in the few states where it's not legal, nobody bothers to prosecute because we've gotten to a place where if you say anything, they call you a transphobe and a homophobe and a bigot and a racist and a Nazi and a fascist. And people are so scared of being labeled that they just sit back and take it. Yeah. That's where we're at.
Hmm. You know, you're touching upon a very interesting subject because it really is a subject that's very important at this moment in time in America. And that's the subject of the freedom of speech. So the First Amendment and the Bill of Rights is our freedom of speech. And the only curtailment of that in our history has been to censor appropriately obscenity. Obscenity has historically been censored from the freedom of speech. Now we have people who are in positions of power that want to silence people who disagree with them. If you're anti-woke or considered conservative, whatever those terms you want to use, and you want to go against these evil people, they want to shut you down. They want to silence you. And there's a Supreme Court, I believe, if I remember correctly, is deciding a very, very important case on this very subject between big data getting into collusion with the government, or the government getting collusion with big data and shutting down hate speech or what they consider to be hate speech, which is really Orwellian, if people understand the book 1984.
Yeah.
It's against people's freedom. Our founding fathers understood the value of freedom of speech. John Stuart Mill was a political scientist who wrote the background of why we should be able to speak to each other. There should be an open forum on good, healthy speech. Obscenity was not part of that discussion. And certainly obscenities with children are not part of that discussion. And yet what you're telling me is that laws in 39 states have changed so you could have obscenity conversations with five-year-olds under the cloaking or the guise that this is education. Am I hearing you correctly?
Oh, you're hearing me correctly, yes. And so it was about 5 years ago, it was 44 states where that was possible, and five states have gotten their acts together and removed the obscenity exemption statutes. But again, it's more symbolic than anything because nobody actually prosecutes when teachers are doing this. The other thing is, in states like New Jersey, where there is no obscenity exemption statute, they are trying to put one in to protect teachers who want to show pornography to kids and to protect librarians who want to show pornography for kids. So we're fighting this battle in both directions. It's just a wild battle. There are so many people who are activated and trying very hard to keep this agenda going. They do not want it to stop. I can't figure out why. I have some theories on that, Tom. You know, we're hearing people talk about how we can't call pedophiles anymore. We should be calling them minor attracted persons because it has more dignity in it, because we should be worried about a pedophile's feelings. So it's almost that's a stepping stone towards normalizing pedophilia.
Sure.
And I don't, you know, as a Christian, obviously we're in it to protect the children, but you only need to be a half decent person with some common sense to know that this is horrible for children. We also have decades of science and research that tell us that harming children, sexual abuse of children, ruins lives, absolutely destroys lives.
I completely understand that, having six children, and certainly I'm more, my 15 grandchildren, I'm even more sensitized to that at the younger ages in today's world than I was when my kids were growing up, which is a long time ago. So this idea, you just raised the question, which I'd like to explore a little deeper with you. And that's that the sexualization of children. Why is it that evil wants to sexualize the children? What's the thinking process behind why is he driving that bus? Why is he spending so much time, so much energy in sexualizing the children?
Okay, well, you know, I got it. My first answer is my mind is not warped enough to understand why. I really can't. I can take a guess that when, knowing what I know, when you sexualize children, they grow up as survivors of sexual abuse are three times more likely to attempt suicide. Survivors of sexual abuse all have PTSD, and that also means they are more likely to abuse illicit drugs, to become alcoholics, to engage in promiscuous activity that's harmful, to carry STDs, even so far as to contract heart disease and cancer. So the devil wants to destroy lives. So sexualizing children en masse with 50 million children in American public schools, I mean, what a better way to destroy lives than catch them young.
I've talked to my father about this, and here's what I got from God. It's right out of the scripture. He gave me the background by starting with, when I created the man, the woman, I told them to be fruitful and multiply. Very first thing I said. Be fruitful and multiply. I want them to have children. I want them to have billions eventually children. Satan cannot, also he said, is that man is made in my image and likeness. I'm creator. When human beings are created in my image and likeness, they procreate with me. They operate with me to procreate more children. So there's like they're co-creators with me in the process of creating babies. Got that? That's all from God. That's the heart of God the Father. That's for human beings. Satan hates that. Satan cannot reproduce. Everything he does is to try to depopulate the earth and stop us from having children. The whole LGBTQ community, the whole thinking process behind that is a man and a man together cannot have a child. A woman and a woman together can't have a child. Transgender preparations, the mutilization of the reproductive organs, is to stop them from having children. If you sexualize the children, they will not grow up in a healthy way to have children themselves. You mentioned to me earlier, my own kids, yes. I mentioned this. You have a son that's 20 years old, and he can't find a woman, a young woman, that he would like to have raise a family with, because the women he's meeting are all been sexualized. So they're all getting on TikTok and Instagram and all being sexy and all the things. And they think that's their identity. They think that's their true identity, their true self, which is totally false. They don't know their identity. They don't know what God is expecting of them or wants them to be. And nobody in this world is actually raised, I shouldn't say nobody, but too few women are being raised, too few young girls are being raised to be mothers. Or to have the thought about having a family, being a mother, and procreating and reproducing. That whole theory is being attacked dramatically through the sexualization of children. Only about 35% of families in America right now are considered a nuclear family. That was a father and a mother and one child. Only 35%. That's almost two-thirds of household formations do not have a man, a woman, and a child. And yet it is God or children. It's in the heart of God the Father that we be fruitful and multiply, that we procreate with him, and that we understand that we are being called when we do procreate, that the children actually belong to God, not to us, and that we're given a stewardship over those children to raise them into adulthood, so that they would understand, because scripture tells us, raise up a child in the way they should go. When they get older, they shall not depart from it. So this conversation is about bringing the kingdom of heaven onto the earth, which it says in the Our Father prayer, and reproduction's part of that. Evil is dead set against us populating, reproducing, and having more children, and also against what God's heart is for us. And we're back in a moment with Elena Barbera.